great to have him back on for season 2019. The footy's just around the corner. We've got our first game on Friday night.
Can't wait.
The Indigenous All-Stars up against the Maori All-Stars, and we're excited for the countdown to the season. Peter Peters joins us now. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray. Yeah, it's 41 days to be exact to kick off in 2019. But as you said, next Friday night, there's going to be some expensive talent on show with the Maori All-Stars against the Indigenous All-Stars at Amy Park in Melbourne. But I presume and I know that a lot of fans and clubs indeed will be watching that game on the one hand with a lot of excitement because there's some wonderful talent on show, and on the other side of the coin, just hoping that their star players will get through. There's nothing worse than losing a player for a lengthy period of time at this time of the year. And that's, unfortunately, part and parcel of our great game. You've got to have trials. You can't just start straight into the competition. So we're going through that period, and we'll lead into what's going to be the trials and then a week's break, and then we go at it with a Storm versus the Broncos game, which I think is intriguing to get things really started. The Broncos' new coach, Anthony Seibold, received the biggest cheer at the Broncos fan day yesterday. It seems as though Brisbane has no problems with getting over Wayne Bennett, who we've led to believe in Sydney over all these years that he's something of a demigod in Brisbane. But how fickle are sports fans? Bennett's been there virtually since they came into the premiership, but he seems to be well and truly forgotten now as they cry out for a new competition premiership. And Seibold versus his mentor in Craig Bellamy first up will be intriguing.
He's hard not to like, though, isn't he, Anthony Seibold? It's no wonder the Broncos fans have already taken to him. Question to you, Zorb, and Jimmy, without notice. We're talking about trials here, Zorb. I was listening to an interview with Josh Jackson yesterday, and Canterbury are only having the one trial, and he prefers just to have the one trial. When you guys were playing, there was obviously a lot more trials. Did you like the trials experience? Was it necessary? Do you think the modern era, just having one or two trials is enough?
I hated them, but it was like kissing your mother-in-law, you just needed to get through it. But yeah, I needed all the games I could get before the start of the comp, and in the 60s and 70s when I played in the then New South Wales competition, really teams didn't get really going till May, June, and that's when the big prop forwards started to come into their own.
I think now the way that they are physically prepared and the amount of contact work that they now do at training, I think trials are becoming less and less necessary.
Josh Jackson made that point that there's contact work every second or third day, particularly this time of the season. So
Canterbury aren't exactly the best example of how it should be done, though. I mean, they've gone from disaster to disaster in recent times, and I wouldn't be placing a lot of credence in that. I think there is a club side that needs as many games together as they can get.
Well, have a look at that. New fullback, essentially Kieran Foran and Lachlan Lewis, if they are the halves combination, they're the new halves combination, and they're probably still trying to find out who's going to be the hooker. So just on Canterbury, Dylan Napa, there's a lot of talk and more press talk and just about what should happen with Dylan Napa. What's your thoughts on it, Zorb?
Well, my first thoughts are that Dylan needs to learn not to take his phone to bed for a start. And the rumours are rife in the game that more videos, up to three, are about to go public. So while opinions are divided on whether the NRL should impose a suspension or fine for something that occurred before he joined the club, I think that Dylan has just got to get his own personal life in order. And if he gets fined, then he's just got to wear it. I think it's gone on for too long. I think that the league need to step in now and say whether there's going to be a suspension or a fine or not. Let's not leave it until after the trials.
Well, do you think he should be suspended? So I look at that and think, what's he done wrong? Stupidity aside.
Yeah, well, stupidity is the word that I've got here. I agree that when people shut their doors to their homes or to their apartments, what goes on behind closed doors, as long as it's not against the law, is fine by me. But you can't have high-profile players in the game having this sort of thing out there on social media. It's stupid, and he's got to pay the price for the stupidity that that he's shown. Now, he's embarrassed, he says now. He's embarrassed his family, his game, his new club. Let's hope that that's the end of him having having poor headlines, although looking at his record since he came to town, I think there's more to come.
Nah, fair enough. Hey, Zorb, will Manly finally get a stadium upgrade at Brookvale?
Well, been a lot of hue and cry about this. I mean, there's been money promised. There's been $12.5 million sitting there that, that Tony Abbott got, and that was just when he became Prime Minister. So that's a long time ago. I hope that money from the federal government is still there. But it's good news for the people of the peninsula. I think it's good news for suburban grounds in Sydney. There is a place for them all. I mean, I heard you mention Des Moines Oval earlier. I mean, what's gone on there in recent weeks has been fantastic. We've had women's AFL, albeit in stormy conditions on Friday night. We've had the women's Big Bash final. We've had some good sport in the suburbs, and people have taken to that and really enjoyed it. It's been part of Sydney for so long. We just need an upgrade, and Brookvale is one of those grounds that need an upgrade. And really, when you look at it, there's a rugby match featuring the New South Wales Waratahs against the Hurricanes. There's an A-League soccer game featuring Sydney FC. And there's the round two clash between Manly and the Premiers, the Roosters, that'll all be played at Lotto Land, Brookvale, in quick succession over the next 6 weeks. So there is a place for these suburban grounds. We've got to make it more comfortable. I mean, you can put a saddle on the rats at Brookvale Oval under the grandstand, and it just needs to be knocked down, built again, and give the people of the Northern Beaches something that they've cried out for. They've been neglected like no other area because of all sections of government in the last couple of decades. Yeah. It's ridiculous, and it's about time it was fixed.
And the beauty of it is that it's easy to supply media outlets with plans of the development because they've been around for 30 years as well. Have you had to upgrade the plans every time you think you're going to get new funding?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we've had to upgrade the pest controllers too.
I would too if you can put saddles on the rats.
Grandstand, let me tell you. Look, it's the best time. It's long overdue.
Now, on a more serious note, and again, we read today, very big week for Jared Hayne and Jack DeBellin.
Yeah, it's not good, is it? It's been a case of out of sight, out of mind for a little while, but it's always been that day of reckoning is coming. Well, it's here for those two players. The NRL and the fans and the clubs will get a stark reminder of the off-season from hell when two of its biggest stars in Jared Hayne, who I think we've seen the last of, and Jack DeBellin front court this week facing charges involving sexual assault. In light of the Ben Barber banning, Hayne and DeBellin, they face months of serious issues, and it's not just all going to come from the courts. The NRL is awaiting the results here. Both cases will attract massive media scrutiny and will further damage the game's sagging public perception. Other high-profile players will follow Hayne and DeBellin into suits and in front of judges in the next few weeks. The case involving Dylan Walker is interesting. It was delayed because one of the witnesses had booked a family holiday to New Zealand, and that fan will be coming home and representing part of the police who have continued down the line of the charges in this issue. Now, the league is and the game is faced with situations where partners who are originally involved and alleging issues then have a look at what's going to happen to their lives and then withdraw any charges and won't give evidence. So that's always something that's been between prosecution and non-prosecution in recent years. And it's a problem that I don't think is going to go away. I mean, how do you look at facing a life of getting 50,000 upwards each month on the 15th of each month and then faced with nothing and no future? Very tough decisions all around in the courts and in the family homes where the troubles are indeed started.
It's a complex one, isn't it? And the thing about the Ben Barber, I think Ainsley Curry was not wanting to press charges, or certainly pleaded with the Cowboys not to sack Ben Barta, but the evidence was overwhelming there. So
yeah, well, that's the situation that we've faced and spoken about many times over many years on this program. The number of players that have been actually found guilty of serious charges is minimalistic. But I don't know if there's such a word. I might have made that up. But they're very few and far between, but I think that's going to change.
Mm. Well, the problems with social media and CCTV footage, it's everywhere these days, and the players need to be aware of it.
Is it a problem if it's providing evidence?
No, what I'm saying is, without question. Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is players need to be aware that they're watched everywhere. It might not necessarily be themselves, but CCTV footage.
On the side of the players, there's been a lot of false charges made. The Brett Stewart thing was a farce. It could have been thrown out of court in 2 days. How it got to court, I think, is a blight on the police.
That was
just ridiculous.
I'm going back to the point you make around social media and then the intrusion and CCTV footage. If it becomes a motivating factor for players and slash anyone to stop doing something or not do something, then that's good.
Absolute deterrent factor, 100%. They should be more, they've got to be conscious of it.
Yeah.
Hey Zorb, Paul Gowan inspired our talk topic today about old blokes and women having a go. He's 37, he's a remarkable athlete, and I don't know what you thought of Friday night's fight, but Paul Gowan was just too good for John Hopewade.
Well, 2 weeks ago on this program, I said that it would be over, it wouldn't go three rounds. No. I mean, anybody that knew anything about boxing knew that would be the ultimate result. I mean, Hopper had his last pro fight 10 years ago and he was disqualified. What a surprise. Before that, he was knocked out. He's had 10 years of inactivity against a powerhouse puncher like Paul Gallen, fit as a Mallee bull. And I want to say this. I thought Paul Gallen, he copped a lot of mouthing from Hopewade in the week leading up to the fight. Short, fat, slow, Hopper said about Gallen this week. Now, 19 years ago, Paul Gallen was 18. And I remember Bob Fulton saying, there's a kid in the Parramatta Juniors we've got to get. He's as tough as teak. He's strong enough and driven enough to be a long-term NRL player. Well, 327 games later for the Cronulla Sharks, 24 for New South Wales and 32 for Australia. Fulton's eye for talent's been well and truly justified. There have been several times during Gallen's career that Fulton tried to get him over the Manly, but he's fiercely loyal, Paul Gallen, and I think he showed on Friday night in that mismatch against Hopewade that he was a caring and responsible person. He went easy on Hopewade when he had him done to a dinner. He pulled up on some of his punches when he saw Hopper heading for the canvas, face down. He could have easily put Hopewade in hospital on Friday night, but he went easy on him. He outclassed his opponent. He's all-class, Gal, and I just think that was a terrific gesture to a fellow human being. A lot of people wouldn't have done that. One of the mysteries of rugby league is that how Parramatta didn't earmark him all those years ago. He's played all of his football with the Sharks, and at 38 years of age to go around again this year, I think that's an unbelievable performance by Paul Gallen in the toughest body contact sport in the world, football code that is. I just think that he's been just an amazing performer. Love him or hate him, Gal. You've got to admire him.
Absolutely. Good on you, Zorb. We'll speak again next week.
Okay, boys.